when you look at opportunities, how are you quantifying the opportunity before, like the instinct you have to make that work before you take it back to your team and your organization?
Yeah, I actually think the B2B side of our business is really interesting for this right now, because I think there's a lot of very interesting B2B tools coming out, sales tech and rev tech tools. AI is a big part of that, obviously. You know, some of it is like, I listen to podcasts, I read publications, I talk to people at conferences, I talk to my network. I do my own podcast that focuses on those tools. So I get like to see firsthand what tools are coming up in the same categories, which ones are doing a better job essentially. And it's like, all of a sudden you just start to hear more and more. Like Clay is a good example of this. I'm like, I can't go anywhere and not hear about this tool, right? Mm. But that is like, I started to hear about it about a year ago. And I think if I go to a conference and I hear a name of a tool I haven't heard of three times, I'm like, oh, that might be a good thing to look into. So that's some of it. The other thing I'll just say is like, when you're in partnerships, you have a bunch of partners. Talk to them about it. I mean, so much of my conversation, if I go out to dinner with a partner, I'm not talking about our partnership the whole time. That's what it calls for. And it's, I want to get to know them, but I also want to say like, what else are you guys doing? And what is that, you know, where are you guys investing and who's doing some cool things out there? And you can use that partner network to really understand it. And then it's, you go into all the research, you research about them, who their partners are, use a account-based mapping tool to see what the overlap is. You listen to customer feedback and obviously your customer teams to hear what they're hearing on the ground before you decide, okay, let's see if there's actually an opportunity here.
What you're describing here is almost like an operating system for partnerships, where it's, you know, as people that operate in this area, we know these things instinctively. When you try and build this into your team so that it's not just you having those conversations, not just you sort of gathering all that intelligence, making sense of it, and then spitting it back out to the organization. How have you organized your business to be part of that operating system, as opposed to it just being a couple of people that happen to be partnership experts in your business? Like, how does that work? And how do you think about that to try and scale that to make your job and the organization just more aware of the opportunity that comes with understanding this intelligence in the market?
Yeah, on the really magical thing about B2B is often your partners are your customers. And so they'll, on that side, we have some really strong account managers that I've built good relationships with. We'll have monthly calls or biweekly calls, and I'll say like, what's going on with your customers? And, you know, what are they doing? And are there partnership opportunities? And it's easier to prime that a little bit so that you know, they're thinking about it as they're having conversations. And so that's a really great kind of like a cheat or a hack on the B2B side with talking to other teams. On the B2C side, it's a little more around like showing that partnerships help in sales and like driving that home and that upfront work. And then they're like, oh, maybe we could have more partners. So that's that side. On the product side is, I think, really around boring concept, build by partner. And so just showing up and saying, here's how we could partner to do this, and making it really accessible and supporting the product engineering teams on what the options are. That's, partner is not always going to be the choice, but at least always give them the option so that they're thinking about it anytime they're thinking about building a product. And it's consistently having those meetings and being in the room so that partnerships will be in a room you're not in.
That's it. And, you know, do you have an ideal tempo for how partnership meetings should take place? I mean, I have in the first instance of new partnerships, we think about catching up quite regularly so we can form that early trust. But that doesn't mean that if we're meeting fortnightly to get a project off the ground, that it should then be that for the entire rest of the, you know, of the relationship. You can go into whatever tempo is required. How do you think about that initial tempo when you're courting a new partner and it's look, I'd really like to get to know you so that we can work this out. I don't want to overwhelm you, and I want to try and find that really delicate balance between those two things.
Yep.
How do you think about that early engagement versus what happens when you're mid-flight?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting coming out of COVID when we weren't seeing people in person, and how much in person has happened in the last year and a half or so. I think it's really important to get in person with people. I think it's important to go out, do it if you need to do a workshop or a meeting, and then go to dinner or lunch or something. Because without that, it's just really, you want to get to know the person. And so I think that in partnerships, they're big. It's like a big sale. And so I think that's like something that I've really been pushing me and the team and leaders in our business, like, hey, we got to go meet these people and let's get this on the books. And then you're going to have your weekly, you know, product engineering call. We set up Slack channels, which I think is great because it just doesn't slow down the momentum that you have to wait for that call. Then it becomes a little bit about partner preference and how much is going on. Some partners we have bi-weeklies, some we have monthlies, some it's like they'll reach out when they want to chat through something or we'll reach out. So it depends on the level of partnership and actually the partner's preference sometimes as well.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
When you think about hiring other people to be involved in partnerships, what are you looking for in the sort of behaviors or core skill set of an individual who might not have had a title of partnership before? What are you looking for in these people to help scale you inside an organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think someone who is just curious, that's not the only thing, but it is a very important thing. They want to know like what's happening in the market, what are other companies doing in the market? They have to be curious about what are we building and what are our customer success and sales teams hearing in the market. They have to understand how operations works, and like they have to just want to learn and get to know people and build relationships internally and externally, because ultimately a good partnerships person is like kind of dangerously good at everything. You might not have marketing support, you might not have product support, or direct like an engineering team dedicated, you might not have operation support. So how are you going to get those teams to help you do something? And being curious about what are their blockers, what are they running into, so you can navigate that, is extremely important, I think.